and welcome to Meeting PR Head On with me, Verity Blake, and my colleague, Lucy Allen. We're here to talk good PR sense, to bust those myths and explain the magical transformation great PR can have on your business. Today, I'm with my co-host, Lucy Allen, busting the PR myth around is all PR good PR?
Well, it is a great question, and you may have heard the phrase that all PR is good PR or any PR is good PR. But actually, we're here today to debate this very question and to bust the myth that, in fact, all PR is good PR.
A good example of this is the case of Gerald Ratner when he was CEO of the major British jewellery company, Ratner's Group. It was such a catastrophic PR blunder at the time that it actually created its own phrase in the dictionary, the Ratner moment, a situation where one harms one's reputation or standing by making ill-advised remarks. And how that came about was in 1991, Gerald Ratner made an infamous gaffe during his speech at the Institute of Directors at the Royal Albert Hall, where he referred to his jewellery business as selling total rubbish and not in the best possible taste. Whilst the speech got a good laugh, and I would recommend downloading it from YouTube if you get a minute, it did also make a good point that the products they sell are giving the customers what they want, which comes back to knowing your audience and customer, one of the ultimate lessons in communications. But at the same time, no one wants to be associated with someone that buys, sells, or invests in rubbish. The outcome of this was followed by immense media coverage criticising his comments as ill-judged and claims that the value of the Ratner Group plummeted by around 500 million, which very nearly resulted in the firm's collapse.
Yes, and another lesson from this is that CEOs need to choose their words carefully and always ensure to get communication training before speaking to the press or public. It doesn't matter how much or how little experience you've had, spokespeople should always be communication and media trained. And this example shows that it only takes one moment, one lapse of concentration, one misplaced phrase, or one skilled interviewer to take you off track and to say something that could damage a historic brand reputation in a matter of minutes. But it seems that not all brands have learnt from the Gerald Ratner example. In 2001, the brand director of Topman made a similar blunder by saying in a magazine interview with Menswear that his customers were football hooligans who only wore a suit in court. It's another corporate faux pas where bosses have confused toe-curling blunders with perhaps refreshing honesty. He did say his comments had been taken out of context when he issued his apology, but by then his remarks hadn't done much for the brand reputation. This is where, again, media training is essential so you understand how phrases can be misinterpreted and what makes a positive or negative soundbite.
So carrying on with CEOs, there was a more recent example in 2018 when the Sainsbury's CEO, Mike Coupe, was filmed singing and humming, "We're in the money, we're in the money," which some of you might remember from musical 42nd Street, while waiting for an ITV News interview about his supermarket's merger with competitor Asda. The reason this was so unfortunate choice of song was because at the time the unions had issued a warning over the merger saying that thousands of workers could be affected and that 500 million of potential savings could mean job losses or cuts to pay. The company and Mike Coupe himself did make a statement after the ITV released the clip, saying this was an unguarded moment trying to compose himself before the interview and he apologises if he'd offended anyone. However, it's a lesson to any spokespeople that are being interviewed in the media that nothing is off the record. You should always be on guard, no matter whether the camera is rolling or not. There's also been brands that have generated huge amounts of publicity for not being truthful and trying to cover things up. Media exposure that has generated them coverage for all the wrong reasons, and as a result, severely damaged the brand and its reputation, and in some cases, their financial figures. You might recall one of the largest car industry scandals in 2015 involving Volkswagen. At the time, it was one of the world's largest car production firms with modest growth, but this all came crashing down in September of that same year when the EPA served the German car maker with a violation of the Clean Air Act. The company got caught cheating by using software that allowed its diesel-powered cars, known for being sportier, cleaner, more efficient, the things that consumers were buying into, to in fact log emissions and falsify low emission readings on millions of vehicles, and so in order to pass emission testing with flying colours. Stop sale notices were issued on the cars, leaving cars clogging up car dealer lots, millions of angry customers demanding answers and compensation, and Volkswagen sales, at least in the US, fell off a cliff. Within days, shares had fallen by 40%, and the brand took a serious hammering in the media. So a lesson there is that honesty really is the best policy when it comes to your customers, as Djokovic, the tennis player, recently discovered.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. And talking of products and being honest with your customers, before launching any product or service, always ensure that you are offering exactly what you say you are. Otherwise, you may have a very costly crisis communications campaign on your hands. In 2016, Samsung famously pulled its Galaxy Note 7 from the market after reports that the batteries were overheating, with instances of burns and in some cases blowing up and catching fire on aircraft. This led to a very costly and damaging recall and replacement campaign, which could have been more serious. Even before Samsung announced it was ceasing production of the Galaxy Note 7, its South Korea traded shares fell more than 8% at the time, knocking $17 billion off the company's market value. Today we've discussed a few examples of where not all PR is good PR when it comes to the traditional media or press. And the same applies to PR campaigns on social media too. The Victorian Taxi Association's Your Taxis campaign in Australia is one of the biggest social media campaign disasters to date. The campaign, launched in November 2015, encouraged people to share on social media their experiences of using taxis across the state. But people hijacked the campaign by using the hashtag YourTaxis hashtag to share their horror stories of the verbal, physical and sexual abuse from drivers, being refused rides by drivers for short fares, and dirty and decrepit taxis. Initially, as hundreds of horror stories were shared, the association responded by insisting that it had expected the negative feedback and welcomed it by saying it would help highlight where to improve. What the association should have done was to be honest with the public and admit that it was surprised by the high level of negative feedback and that the campaign didn't go the way it had expected and that it was sorry and would learn something from the stories. This would have gained them a lot more respect and credibility to help with brand damage limitation. They should have also stopped tweeting straight away and reassessed the campaign as soon as the backlash began. However, just 2 days after the Your Taxis campaign launched, the @YourTaxis Twitter account experienced another backlash after using Remembrance Day to promote the campaign, which many social medias called out as being totally disrespectful. The tweet, which also misspelled Remembrance, read #RememberanceDay, 600,000 taxi trips are taken by war veterans and widows for treatment purposes. Lest we forget, #YourTaxis. The association had to apologise in the end and confirm that they had fired their PR agency responsible. So, Verity, what can we learn from this?
Well, one thing actually, Lucy, listening to that example, is that also companies need to anticipate the behaviour of their customers. A good PR agency will always do that and guide their client. But it also shows the number of channels that we use to reach and engage with customers and your audience in your PR campaigns. A multitude. And they continue to grow, from press to broadcast to social media to podcasts to videos. And these are all very powerful channels for amplifying your brand and staying front of mind with your customer. And the more channels available to reach your customers does mean that the more you are in the public eye and the more scrutiny you can come under if you say or do things wrong. So 4 tips to take away. Be prepared, be on message, be clear and transparent. And if you get it wrong, be honest. You'll earn greater respect from your customers and public than if you try to cover it up, only to be found out, which you will in today's digital world. Use a skilled PR and communications person to ensure your message is conveyed correctly, and always get media and communications training regularly. So we've discussed today some extreme examples of where PR has gone wrong. PR is a great way to build customer confidence in your company and to build awareness of your brand when it's done well and when you're guided and supported by a great PR team. So good to have you listening. To discover more about us, visit our website, headonpr, that's all one word, .co.uk. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear it at hello@headonpr.co.uk. Please let your colleagues know about this podcast. They can download it through any of the podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or Amazon Music. And if they press the follow button, every new edition will be automatically downloaded onto their device.
Produced by Made For You Podcasts. The 4 is a numeral, the U, a lowercase letter.